Welcome to the Newman Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
If you haven't got it in paper, perhaps you've got it on a device, then come with me to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings and in chapter 2. Did I see Tony here? Do you live in Melbourne or Adelaide? I see you here a lot. Do you know these folks? Tony and Joe, all the way from Adelaide and Yuma. Welcome them. It's good to see families from everywhere. That, you know, can I tell you something? That was really pathetic. I didn't think that Newman Church was a golf clap church. I said, can we welcome them? Can we just do that? God, good. There's a few things that should be banned in church life. I'm going to slowly work through them. One of them is golf claps, all right? Bible says, clap your hands, all you people, shout to God with the voice of triumph. I don't think God said, yeah, well done, God. Why don't we try that? Clap your hands, all you people, shout to God. Oh, yeah, there we go. So welcome. Welcome all the way from South Australia. 2 Kings chapter 2, I want to talk to you about stepping into new dimensions. I want to talk to you about pursuing more from God. And I'm going to give you five steps on this journey. And again, from the book of 2 Kings, we're going to read a few verses and then we're going to unpack it together. So Lord, I thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit to make scriptures come alive, to help us not only see what you want to say to us, but then help us to live it out. So I pray for your Holy Spirit to be, Lord, profoundly at work as we share these few minutes together, and we agree for that in the name of the King. Here's the first thing. If you want more from God, if you're really pursuing more from God, number one, you need to be committed to progress. Don't stay stuck. Don't stay stuck. There's always more from God. Verse one, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, I just wish these two guys had slightly different names. It's very confusing. Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel. But Elisha said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So the two of them went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yeah, I know, said Elisha, but be quiet. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, Elisha, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went to Jericho. The prophets at Jericho came out to Elisha and asked him, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? He said, yes, I know. So be quiet. Verse 6, then Elijah said to him, stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So if you're in the habit of underlining some things in the Bible, here's one to underline. So the two of them walked on. Being a follower of Jesus, means we're always on a journey because he never stops. And if we're going to be a follower, let's follow him well. Let's follow him well. And as people, and if you're not a follower of Jesus, the good news is you came tonight on a journey, you were searching for something, and I'm going to tell you something, you found what you're looking for. Not in a religion, not in a building, not in a church name or brand, but in the person of Jesus. And in a few minutes, we're going to give you an opportunity to connect with God through him. But for the next few minutes, let me speak to most of us as followers of Jesus. When we come to him and we ask him to forgive our sins, break the power of our past, and help us walk out the new life that he's promised, there are certain stops, there are certain milestones and places that he'll take us through. And in the Old Testament, there are images and places which actually speak to us as we become New Covenant, New Testament people. So Elijah and Elisha go on this spiritual journey. And the first place they get to is Gilgal. Gilgal makes every guy in the room cross-eyed. It's the place of circumcision. Not a terribly happy place. It's where the flesh is dealt with. When we become followers of Jesus, we don't just get Jesus painted over the old man. The Bible tells me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that when we come to Christ, we become new creations. All the old has passed away. Or as my little niece used to call me, say, all things are passed away. All things are passed away. And everything has become, say with me, new. So, and as I decide to follow Jesus, we've got Easter coming up in a couple of weeks. My favorite time of all, right through the year, to have water baptisms is Easter Sunday. There's nothing better, right? Well, it's kind of like, you remember at school we used to do show and tell? All right? Water baptism is the show and tell of the Easter story. Buried with Christ. The old man has been put to death. And we rise in newness of life, just like Jesus. How many are glad that Jesus didn't stay in the tomb? He rose from the dead. Hey, he rose from the dead. And if the same spirit that raised him from the dead is living in me, there's going to be a lot of change. That's why I guess you get a little wearied with some Christians telling their testimony. You know what? I was a form of this and a form of that. You're not a form of anything. You're a brand new Christian. You're a brand new creation. You're a new person. And when we come to him and we're a brand new person, that old man is put to death. Which means I'm not as angry as I used to be. I'm not as mean as I used to be. I'm not as miserable as I used to be. I'm not as contentious and critical because that old man, that flesh, that ugly stuff is being cut away and there's less and less of me and more of Jesus. Can I tell you something? If you're as angry as you were last year, there's something going wrong. If you're no more kind than you were last year, there's something going wrong. The fruit of the Spirit should be happening as the old man is dying and more of him is coming to the fore. If you're as boring as you were last year, there's something wrong. You ever heard some people's testimony?
Before I met Jesus, I was wicked and boring. I thank God I'm not wicked anymore.
No, he came that we'd have life. Say life. Life more abundant. But part of that is this old stuff. Now, I'm not here to put shame on anybody, but I'm going to tell you something. You're not supposed to be wrestling with the same things that had you bound up before you found Jesus. My dad is the town drunk that got radically saved in an open-air building, open-air meeting, not outside of a building, no shoes, no shirt, and not even any teeth. He was the town drunk. Got radically saved, right? Crazy saved. And I used to talk to him about, hey, I never hear your testimony. I had to get him to tell it once, Sherry's story once, and we recorded it. Otherwise, I'd never heard it. Can you believe that? And he used to look at me and said, why don't you tell the story? He says, that guy's dead. Chronic alcoholic, kneels down in a gutter in an open air in a country town, never drinks again. Can I tell you something? The message he heard that night is one that changed our entire family line. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The beauty of this church, it doesn't point fingers, because when you're pointing a finger out, there's three coming back. So stay away from finger pointers. They're usually hiding junk. Write that down. True story. But as followers of Jesus, we've got to come to that place of Gilgal. Say, God, that stuff, I'm laying it down. I want to walk in the newness of life. But we don't stop there. He takes us on to a place called Bethel, Beth, house, El, God, house of God. Here's what I love about you being in the room on a Sunday night. You have an affection for the house of God. I know we're all temples of the Holy Spirit. Okay, I get it. But there is something that happens in the corporate gathering of God's people. Listen to me, young people especially. There's been something going on since around about COVID till now where people will say, I love Jesus, I just can't stand the church. That would be like coming to our family and saying, I love Wayne, I just can't stand Lynn. It's an insult. to the King of Kings. You know the problem with churches? You're in it. I'm in it. Humans are in it. But it's the only thing God's got on the planet with the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. Okay. And he wants to continue to work it and refresh it and renew it. Yes, I get it. And there's and some things shouldn't be, but it's just because there's human flawed, failed beings in the thing. All right? It's okay. Don't let your journey of following Jesus take an off-ramp where you become this isolated little believer with all you, yourself, and your friend all gathering together, criticizing the church. Here's the deal. I know you don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Look at me. You just need to get to church to stay normal and kind and generous. So pull away from the keyboard and stop telling everybody how church could be better. Hey, gotta tell you, newsflash, you are the church. Who would have thought? And when Pastor Ali gets up and starts calling us to sow, I'm only a uni student. I tell you, it's not about your bank account, it's about your heart. Where in the New Testament is that stuff about tithing? Jesus actually said, I didn't come to change anything from the law of the prophets. I came to fulfill it. And then he said, oh, by the way, when you tithe. So it's kind of following Jesus 101. He thought, I don't need to go into all this. You already got that. Can I tell you something? If you want to fight your pastors and jump online and blog against people, pastors that call you to trust God, give him your best, give him your first, you've got a problem. Because where your treasure is, your heart is. And that's why the Bible says, this is the best offering talk you've ever had. And there's very quiet response, but that's okay. I'm telling you, I meet too many people. If you'd be glad you're not at Hope Center, because I tell them, do not come to the front saying you need a financial miracle if you don't tithe. I won't pray for you. Because God responds to faith, not magic. I'll start giving when God starts blessing. Well, that's against the laws of agriculture. Last time I checked, I grew up in the bush. This is what I noticed. You sow first, then you reap. So come on, you want a better job? Start sowing. Sow into where your future's going to be. Sow into the house. God says, bring your whole tithe and your offering to the house so there's enough so we can be a blessing to the community. Oh, and by the way, when you do that, you start sowing into things that matter to me, I'll start pouring back into things that matter to you. I'm going to open the windows of heaven and pour out blessing you can't contain. It starts with bringing what you have to the house because God loves the house. Bethel, fall in love with Jesus and fall in love with his bride. And I'm going to tell you, most things will work out. But we don't at Bethel. I'm being changed. Yes, it's good. I'm now committed. I'm in community. Are you in a small group? The early pattern of the church still is effective today. Get into corporate gatherings, into small group fellowship. Walk in fellowship, covenant community with a few people that know your middle name, know your birthdays, know what makes you happy and knows your struggles and that you can be accountable to them and they can pray you through to victory in Jesus. Bethel. But we don't even stop there. We go on to another place. It's called Jericho. That's the place of the breakthrough. That's where the walls come down. Remember your Jericho moment? Might have been the day you were filled with the Holy Ghost. Might have been the day you were set free radically. Might have been the day something powerful happened. Walls came down. It's amazing. It's like, whoa, doesn't get any better than this. Well, it does. You keep on walking. You keep on walking because there's more miracles. There's more breakthroughs coming. Can someone say amen? There's more exciting things happening as we follow the Lord. And then we come to another place. Read it there. Come to the place called Jordan. Jordan's the place of breaking through. Jordan's a place of crossing over. want to pick that up a little more in a few minutes. But can I tell you something? The greatest enemy to progress is sentiment. And sentiment isn't just the domain of old people, where we get locked to something, locked to an experience, locked to a style, locked to an era. Come on. God says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Okay. So yeah, let's be grateful. Okay. I've grown up, I'm a preacher's kid. I've grown up all my life hearing about the good old days. Right? Can I tell you, I was there. Look at me. They were good, but they're just old days. Compared to what God is doing now, compared to what he's going to do, compared to what he wants to do for me. Seriously, these are exciting days to be alive, but don't get locked into the past, whether the past is last week or last year or last decade. Thank God. We should be keep building line upon line, precept upon precept, season upon season, blessing upon blessing. We just keep building. We just keep walking. We just keep growing into what he has for us. Second thing, read on with me. Go to verse 9. Second thing, if you want more from God, you got to know what you want. This is important. Have you heard the way some Christians pray? I don't know if they know what they want from God. I'm a dad. I have 2 sons. I have 5 grandkids. When they come to me, they know what they want from the Father. You're his child, the Bible says. We can boldly come to his throne and we can ask what we want. Verse 9, it says, when they had crossed over, they'd gone across the Jordan, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me, here's the big line, what can I do for you? Say it with me, what can I do for you before I'm taken from you? And this is Elisha's reply, let me inherit, 2 big words, a double portion of your spirit. So question, what do you want from God? What are you believing for? I think the problem for some Christians is they just don't know what they want. And so when we don't know what we want, we just pray polite prayers. God bless mummy, God bless daddy. God bless all the people in the earth. Amen. Or it worse, have you heard them? Some of them pray like this? And it sounds so noble, it's just empty. Lord, we just want to be in your will. We just want whatever you want us to want. So Lord, today we come wanting whatever you want us to want. And we want, Lord, what you want us to want. And we ask this in your mighty name. And some days I hear people praying like that and I think, is God as confused as I am? Because I'm not sure what they want. I'm not even sure they know what they want. Come on, you're a child of the living God. Tell him what you want. I read once about a duck that could talk. It's a true story. Duck walked into a grocery store on his own. And the storekeeper was really surprised to see a duck walk in. Even more surprised when he said, what do you want? And the duck could talk. Duck said, do you have any fresh fruit and vegetables? He said, no, I don't. Everything here is either in a can or frozen. Duck said, that's disgusting. Just waddled out. Next day, same duck, same store. Storekeeper leans over the counter and says, it's you again, what do you want? He said, do you have any fresh fruit and vegetables? He said, no, I don't. He said, everything here is either in a can or frozen. Duck just shook his head and walked out. Day 3, same duck, same store, same storekeeper. He walks up to the counter. He says, hey, got any fresh fruit and vegetables? The storekeeper loses the plot. He says, listen here, buddy. You came in day 1, 2, now it's day 3, and I told you, we've only got stuff here that's either canned or frozen. And if you come back here tomorrow, I'm going to take your little flat foot and I'm going to nail it to the floor. Sorry for everybody that's in Greenpeace. The duck just stared at him, didn't blink, walked out backwards. Day 4, same duck walks in slowly. Storekeeper loses the plot. He says, what do you want? He said, do you have any nails? He said, no, then I want fresh fruit and vegetables. True story. Here's a little guy that knew what he wanted. When you pray, do you know what you really want? Can I recommend you do this? Get yourself a prayer journal. Start to write it out. I opened mine this morning and I started looking at it. I've got two sons that have both had knee reconstructions in the last 12 months. Father, I am asking that they be completely healed, that they're better than when they even had an operation. I've got a church here. I've got a church in Southeast Queensland, one in Alice Springs and one in Darwin, and I know what I want. Father, I pray for a harvest of souls and the mighty power of the Holy Ghost to move. I know what I want. Pray over members of my family. Pray over situations, friends that have got massive battles with cancer. I know what I want. How do you pray? I forget. Well, write it down. Come to Him. There's people in the Bible, they came in with petitions. God, this is what I need. Know what you... Elisha knew what he wanted. Psalm 37:4, here's a good verse. See, people go, I haven't had that many prophecies and I'm not sure what the Lord wants for my life. Can I give you a key that's a compass to His plan for your life? Look at me. The desire. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the... See, God's not weird. God's not complicated. He doesn't like to fool His kids. He doesn't want to give you gifts and skills and anointings and grace and talent and then not tell you how to use them. He puts this compass in here that's called desire. So people say, I've never had a prophecy. I try to hear the will of God. I try to work it out. I say, okay, look at me. What do you want to do? Sorry. It's as simple as that. If you're walking with the Lord, progressing on your journey, start saying, God, I actually want to do this. I meet people that they've got these things they want to do, and I look at them and go, yeah, you've got the talent. Yeah, you've got the gift. Yes, you've got a heart for Jesus. Why not? Go for it. Know what you want. People ask me, what do you want? I'm like Elisha right now. I want a double portion of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That's what I want. That's what I want. I got so much in my heart to see for God, and I can't do it. It's not by might or by power. It's by His Spirit. I need the Holy Ghost. Here's the third thing. Stay open to change. We're still reading. Verse 11. As they were walking along and talking together, could you imagine what Spielberg would do with this story? Suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and he cried out, my father, the chariots and the horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Look what happened. Then he took hold of the garment, his own garment, and he tore it in two. Elisha says, you know what? This that I've been carrying, this that I've been wearing, was good for a season. It's a new day. Like a power lifter. Rips it off. Have you ever read scripture and thought, what would have happened if that other mantle hadn't have come? Might have gone home in the emperor's new clothes. I'm not sure. But he picks up this new mantle. God was about to do a new thing. This church has had decades of God doing new things. But guess what? From where I stand now, they were new things then, they're old things now. And God is wanting to do a new thing. Does anybody believe that? And He wants you to be part of it. That's my message. He wants to do a new thing and He wants you to be a part of it. And I repeat, the fact that you're here on a Sunday night says you're hungry for that. So don't get trapped by the familiar. Jesus says this in Matthew 9:17. He says, neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst. The wine will run out. The wine is obviously the work of the person, the power of the Holy Spirit. Wineskins will be ruined. No, He says, they pour new wine into new wineskins and they're both preserved. Here's the fourth thought. Come with me to verse 14. Be willing to cross over. For them, it was the Jordan. For you and I, it's not a visible thing, but it's a spiritual place where we've got to cross to. Verse 14, Elisha took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and he struck the water with it. He cries, "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left and he crossed over. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave us the Beatitudes. I have my own version called the Beatitudes. Here's one Beatitude. "Blessed are the line crossers, for they shall fulfill their destiny." If you're an Aussie, have a go, mate. Step across. Have a go. Don't die wondering. Don't die wondering. See, line crossers are often mocked. They're mocked by the people committed to being safe. Case in point. Jesus is walking on the water. The disciples are in a boat. It's a bit of a crazy night. There's storms going on and everything else. And they look out and there's this figure on the water. And Peter, the Aussie, says, "Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come to you." And Jesus says, "Come." So what does Peter do? He does what not one of the other 11 were prepared to do. Over the edge of the boat, and he goes walking. Now, I've heard a lot of sermons on this moment, and most of them concentrate on the fact that Peter fell. And Peter took his eyes off Jesus. This is how the sermon goes. The music's quiet behind, and Peter took his eyes off Jesus. And when he did, he looked at the sea, and he heard the wind and the waves, and he went down. And this is how the sermon goes. And Jesus lovingly comes along. And he picks him up and he carries him back to the boat. Look at me. That's not in the Bible. It's not even in the Amplified. It did not happen. I have a question for you. If we serve a God, listen what God does. He honors faith because faith honors him. Do you think Jesus would have picked up a rough, tough fisherman and carried him back to the boat and sat him just beside Thomas? And Tommy would have said, "Had a little fall, did we?" Jesus didn't carry him back to the boat. Bible tells me that of my God underneath me is the everlasting arms. He picks us up, yeah, because we fall. Steps of good people are ordered by the Lord on our journey. And even if we fall, so stop beating yourself up because you did something dumb last week. Even if you fall, you're not cast down because he upholds you, lifts you up. Peter, yeah, he fell. And if I know the Jesus of the Bible the way I think I know him, he would have said, "Okay, Pete, come on, reach out." Picks him up. Let's get the salt out of your eyes. Are you ready? Let's go back together and walk back to the boat. That's my Jesus. He loves to see people take steps of faith, steps of faith. And some of us get parked and we're playing it too safe. When in our heart, you know, again, sorry about if you think I'm talking all about money, but it's a real test of our heart. And we get a challenge like we had tonight. And we, we're playing it too safe. And yet we want to see breakthrough in that area of our life. Come on, take a step. Take a step. Proved all my life you can never outgive God. But what about when you're at work and somebody says, "Oh, I've had this wretched headache." Here's the safe thing. I've got a packet of Panadol. Here's what you do when you step across the line. I think you know, but I'm a Christian. And I just want you to know I care about you. My Bible says I can actually pray for you. Don't get weird. Don't be stupid, right? Make it hard for the rest of us. Just say, "Hey, I care enough for you. Would you allow me to pray for you?" You have a moment in a service like this and the Lord puts somebody in your heart and a thought. Don't go and, you know, "God told me you're living in sin." No, stop it. Is it possible, Cain, I just had a burden for you that I feel like you're really concerned about this, this, and this? Just ask a question. Be kind. Just start stepping in. And as you step out, all of a sudden that muscle starts to grow. And you've taken that ground now. And next time you can take a little bit further with a little bit more confidence. Blessed are the line crossers. Be prepared to cross over. Ask her out. Come on. Oh, just praying, just believing. I want whatever the Lord wants me to want. Hey, she's sitting beside you, bozo. And all the girls said? Ah! Step across the line. See, I love the thing with Peter. Is yeah, some people talk about the fact he fell. It's in the Bible, but here's what we don't talk about. A human being defied gravity. And that only happens if you're prepared to get out and have a go. Think about the things that are stirring in your heart right now. I don't know what it is. Study, relationally, ministry, sharing your faith. What's the worst thing that can happen? Flip it. What's the best thing that could happen? You step into a new dimension. Anyway, we've got to wrap it up. I've got to catch a plane home. You know what's crazy? God has given me as much love for this place as Hope Center. It's really weird. No, I'm not moving to Melbourne. I'll just come on planes. Here's the last thing. Because it's really funny because, all these prophets, you can read it. All these prophets, Elijah's gone, Elisha's there, and the 50 prophets from Jericho come out and said, where's Elijah gone? And he said, he's gone to heaven. And these 50 prophets went looking for him. If they were good prophets, they'd know that. Just saying. They finally give up, and then this beautiful story builds to a crescendo in verse 19. Because here's the fifth thing if you want more from God. You've got to be prepared to use his power for the right purpose. Use his power for the right purpose. Verse 19, the people of the city said to Elisha, look, our town, this verse is as much a mandate verse on my life and ministry as any. The people of the city said to Elisha, Look, our Lord, this town is well situated, as you can see, but the water is bad and the land is unproductive. One of my favorite missiologists made this powerful statement once. He said, until the future of the world matters more to the church than the future of the church has no future. Yes. Elisha got this. The people come to him and said, the town's a mess. And what did he say? Verse 20, I love this. Bring me a new bowl. Something's never been used before. I'm doing a new thing. Bring me a new bowl and put salt in it. Did you read somewhere from Jesus' teaching that we're the light of the world and the salt? So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the spring. Oh, man, this is powerful. He went out to the spring and he threw the salt in it and he said this. This is what the Lord says. I have healed this water. Never again will it cause death or make the land unproductive. And the water has remained pure. The New King James says it's remained healed to this day according to the word that Elisha has spoken. Elisha embraced his new appointment with his new anointing and his new assignment. With a new anointing comes a new assignment. He goes to the city of Jericho. It's in a lot of pain. Things are dying prematurely. Some even say it's causing a lot of women to miscarry. The land's unproductive. The whole economy, which is an agricultural economy, the economy is affected by what's happening just in the very core of that city. And Elisha rocks up. He's carrying something from heaven. And God uses Elisha to bring about an amazing healing. I love that declaration, verse 22, the water remains healed to this day. See, here's the thing about the anointing. The anointing wasn't meant to be kept in the camp of the prophets. I get concerned with Christians and churches where the anointing's all about what happens in four walls. Freely we receive for one reason, to freely... And when God puts a new anointing upon us, when he empowers us afresh, it's not so that we can have better church services. It's not so that we can get warm, fuzzy feelings when we gather in our life groups or anywhere else. No, no, no. He gives it to us so that we can give away. In fact, the Bible actually tells me that in my belly will flow rivers of living water. And I discovered the more I open the valves and allow the work of God to flow through me, the more of that is flowing. My first church I pastored when I was in my mid to late 20s, saw something very special that the Holy Spirit did amongst us. The church grew crazy. I was the youth pastor that overnight became the senior pastor. Don't recommend it, but it was fun. It was a lot of fun. And people were getting saved like crazy and God was doing things and people were getting filled with the Holy Spirit and was like nuts. I remember one night after a really, really big weekend, the following Sunday, a lady comes up to me and says, "Oh, Pastor Wayne, that was amazing. The power of God was so all over me." I said, "Oh, it was just amazing." She's raving about how God had so filled her. And so I said to her, "That's awesome. So what did you do with that this week?" She looked at me like a cow at a gate. She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "What did you do? God, I've read the book of Acts. Read the first two chapters. God empowers us for stuff because there's hurting, broken people everywhere. What did you do with it?" She said, "I didn't go outside in case I leaked." I said lovingly, I was in my 20s, I said, "Sweetheart, you meant to leak. You meant to flow. We receive, oh, this is a church that knows the presence of the Holy Spirit, knows the power of God, but it's never meant to be kept here." No, no, we receive. We receive to give. We're empowered to minister to hurting, broken, lost people. We're here to go and impart salt and life to our Jerichos. Where things are dying, we come and bring them alive in the name of Jesus. Hey, Jesus, there's such a parallel with what happens in Elisha's life to what happened in Jesus. Right at the start of his ministry, Elisha's about to start, same with Jesus. He's 30 years of age. He picks up the scroll. He storms into the temple. Remember, he's been baptized, been out in the desert. Devil tempts him with the gold, the glory, and the girls, all that stuff. He wins the battle. He comes back in. He goes, picks up the scroll, the book of Isaiah, and he reads this. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Can I tell you what I think might be the most important word, if there is a more important word in Scripture, in that whole verse or two? It's the next one. Because. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," say it with me, "because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." I'm going to my Jericho because there's people spiritually bankrupt. "He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind and to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." I've walked up and down Bridge Road. I don't even have to go to surrounding suburbs. There's people everywhere. They're walking living Jerichos. Stuff's dying. Their marriages are dying. Their dreams are dying. Their health is dying. We walk past them on our way to church to get more from God. To come back next week. No, no, no. No, no, the Spirit of the Lord's upon us because God loves broken, bound people and he wants to use us. God, I meet so many Christians waiting for a move of God. Can I tell you what he's waiting? He's waiting for a move of you. Waiting for a move of us. Come on. There is so much more for us, but the more is to help and to minister to people that Jesus died for. Come on, musos, come and sing so I can go home. This community needs a church that's committed to be salt and light. bringing hope and healing into the chaos that is modern Australia. It's chaos. I sometimes try to imagine, just because I want the burden to grip my heart, what would it be like to be living in the 21st century without Jesus? The answer is Jericho. Jericho. And we're going to pray for you tonight. And we're going to send you back to university. We're going to send you back to your school and your workplace and your family and your neighborhood. Oh, God has so much more for you. But I've discovered the people he gives so much more to. It's the ones that are prepared to use it. The ones that are prepared to use it. I heard you tell your story about those missions that God's doing great things, and I watched your heart come alive. God's going to completely mess you up for nations. He's going to start pouring stuff into your hands that you never imagined even 3 years ago. And why is he giving it to me? Why so much more? It's because, for God so loved the world. I preached 2 Sundays ago with the world population clock ticking behind me. It's almost 8.2 billion people. Our nation's got 27 million of them. Over 40% of those 8.2 million, billion, over 40%, so 3.5 billion have never once heard the name of Jesus. 70% of them have never had the opportunity to have a dynamic relationship with the living God. Has so stirred me up that I have got less and less an appetite for just playing church and being Flanders. I want to be used by God. I'm prepared to step across the line. I'm going to make a mistake every now and then, and so are you. You know, I offer to pray for somebody and they can say, no thanks. You do some stuff and it won't always work out. But you know what? Smile of your father. I raised 2 boys, and can I tell you something? They didn't get out of the cot one day and do the 100 meters in 9.7 seconds. Even with my incredible sporting genes. No, they got up and they fell over. And you know what I did as a dad? My boy's having a go. Starting to walk. That's what your father does. Stepping out, sharing your faith, loving, ministering, showing kindness, putting some salt in. He says, you know what? Have some more. Have some more, because you're using it in Jesus' name. So tonight we're going to pray for you. Some of us need to actually get to that point where the walls come crashing down. That's what happened at Jericho. The walls that we build up that have separated us from God. And painted all over those walls are things like shame and regret and disappointment. He says, I want those walls to come down. And Jesus came as the great wall destroyer. Others of us need to come to that place where he does a phenomenal work of healing in our life. And others of us want to be used by him to bring healing to others. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.